And Bill Proxmire was the Democratic nominee, and the Republican nominee was Walter Kohler, who was the governor, you know, from Kohler, Wisconsin. And everybody expected him to win. He bought a house in Washington, D.C. But Bill Proxmire didn't give up. Bill Proxmire kept campaigning around the state, and everybody laughed at him because he had been our governor nominee in 92 for the in 52 for the Democrats, in 54 and 56. Everybody said he was a perennial candidate, washed up. And I remember talking to him about that one time. He said, you know, Matt, there was another guy who ran and lost several times and finally won. And we were lucky that that happened. And he's my, he's the guy he looked up to. And that's true. There was a guy who was elected to Congress in 1846. But he opposed the Mexican-American War. He thought that that was wrong. And so he couldn't run for re-election. Then he ran for the Senate in 1858 and lost. Then he ran for president in 1860, and everybody laughed at him. His name was Abraham Lincoln. We're lucky that he got elected. We're lucky that Bill Proxmire stuck to it, and he got elected in 57, then the general election in 58. And I'll tell you, give you a little background, Gary, on the Golden Fleece Award. He told me that in his first election, he was a conventional Democrat, you know, voting for everything and that, you know, Jack Kennedy had put up and all that, all the good stuff. But they nicknamed him Billion Dollar Bill. And that was starting to have an impact on people. And then he realized that he could be just as responsible voting for the good programs that needed to be voted for, but at the same time, like you say, looking for fraud, not just in military procurements, but there's fraud all over the place and waste, really, frequently just waste. And he was the taxpayer's watchdog. I remember one time, you know, I was running for office and things were not looking good. I did not win the election. And Bill was the color commentator on the local ABC affiliate here in Milwaukee. And somebody said, well, Flynn looks like he's not going to win this thing unless he carries Waukesha 2-1. And he's a Democrat. That can't happen. Bill Proxmire said, last election, I carried Waukesha 2-1. So he was a guy who had support all across party lines. And I can't tell you how much he meant to the party, how much he meant to me, and how much he meant to a lot of younger guys that were coming up. So I really appreciate your terrific memory. I mean, it's really terrific that you got to meet him. Really terrific that you got to meet him. And, you know, he passed away, I don't know, 20 years ago. He had Alzheimer's at the end. I spoke at his funeral along with other people. It was a great honor. So thanks a lot for calling in, Gary. I appreciate it. I want to talk about something else now. And this has to do with China. Nancy Pelosi is leaving, scheduled anyway, for Taiwan, for Asia and Taiwan on Friday. That has produced a huge diplomatic dust-up, Xi of China, president of China, China's 5,000 years old, mainland China, and it's essentially been a slave state for 5,000 years. Under the emperors, you had to count, you've heard the word kowtow, K-O-W-T-O-W, you got to kowtow to somebody. That the Chinese thing where if you were ushered in the emperor's presence, you couldn't look at him. If you looked at him, they'd kill you. So you had to crawl on your belly across the carpet and pull on your hair to show you were subservient to him. And he could do whatever he wanted. And then, of course, Communist Party got rid of the last emperor. And Xi is no different from one of their emperors. It's really a slave state in many respects. Well, they have their eyes on Taiwan. Taiwan is Chinese, Han Chinese, H-A-N, just like the mainland Chinese. Mainland China calls itself legally the People's Republic of China. Taiwan calls itself the Republic of China. The People's Republic is a communist country. And they say they want Taiwan. Taiwan is 100 miles from the mainland of China. Taiwan owns an island that's 10 miles from China. And China's had their tasters out for them for a long time. Well, they don't like to lose face. Saving face is very important to them. And Nancy Pelosi would be the highest ranking American to go there if she goes. since Newt Gingrich went there in 1997 when he was speaker. So what she's going to do, there's been a lot of pushback from China, this sort of threatening war and all this. And they shoot their mouth off. One of the problems for Xi is that he wants to stay in power. And they have a Communist Party Politburo of more than 300 people. And they will kowtow to him up to a point. But if he looks like he's losing it, they'll get rid of him as quick as they can. And right now, things aren't going all that well economically in China, frankly. And partly because he's cracking down on the insurgent economic rise of China, which was produced by letting people own private companies and minister and emulate us a little bit. And he's cracking down on that. There's a guy named Jack Ma, M-A, who is the equivalent of something like, say, a Bezos or a Bill Gates, you know, in other words, a big industrialist, very wealthy guy. And they arrested him and threw him in jail. He just disappeared for no reason. And that sent a chilling message to everybody. Anyway, what is Pelosi going to do? I strongly think she has to go to Taiwan. She has to go to Taiwan. She invited the leadership of the Democrats and Republicans in the House of Representatives, and they've accepted. And it looks now she's consulted with Biden. Biden and the Defense Department have said formally, well, you know, maybe you want to defer this a little bit, basically to let Xi save a little face. But she can't do that. And I think that secretly what they're doing is ginning up the following. She will go to Asia, she'll go to Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, Singapore, and then she'll stop in Taiwan on the way back. Now, that's going to deal a terrible blow, really terrible blow to Xi. He will not save face. That will hurt him because he wants to stay in power, and the rest of the Politburo are going to start to lick their chops, throw him out. They want to get in there and steal money themselves, and he's stealing most of it. Lets them steal a little bit. It's a communist country. Communism is simply the modern word for fascism. You know, you're in China. There was a woman over there. She was an athlete, and she gave a press conference, and she's saying that she was raped. She was sexually assaulted by the number two or three guy in the whole Chinese government. She disappeared. Then she came back and held a press conference and said she was lying. She wasn't. That's the way they operate over there. They torture people. They, in our Federal Reserve right now, report was just put out by the Senate. But there are a number of Chinese nationals that have worked there that have been feeding non-public information, secret information back to the Chinese. Why? Because they're traitors, maybe some of them, but not all of them. But they have relatives back there. And then they just get a visit from a guy here in the United States. He goes, you know, you have a mother and a sister back there. And if you don't want something to happen to them, you got to do this. We have got to take that into account. In the press for multiculturalism and diversity, you cannot hire foreign nationals for very, very sensitive things. And you certainly can't do it when it involves people who have relatives in communist countries. Or fascist countries like Russia, run by organized crime, who used to be communist countries. So good for Nancy Pelosi. You know, Nancy Pelosi is unbelievable. She's in her early 80s. She's still doing this strong, still risking things. I mean, for a woman her age to go to Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, Singapore, then go to Taiwan, she will probably have a U.S. military jet escort. There's some discussion about what the Chinese reaction will be. Will it be that they will finally fly military jets over Taiwan, which they haven't done yet? They've come close, but they haven't done yet. It'll be like they're flying military jets over our country. They wouldn't dare do that, but they may try to do it in this case just to scare folks. It's a very tense circumstance. They have got to understand that they can't dictate where our officials go. We are the biggest economy in the world. We have the strongest military in the world. We have the highest values in the world. And we have the strongest constitution in the world. And everybody else tries to emulate us, but they only go halfway. There are many of these fascist countries and communist countries who just Xerox our our constitution. And they say, that's our constitution too. But what about the Fourth Amendment? We need a warrant to go into somebody's house. They'll just come in the middle of the night and drag you out. What about the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination? They'll torture people, they confess. These countries are founded on lies. China is essentially still a slave state, a beehive, an ant colony, and they have got to be instructed that they do not say where our people go. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And it pushes me onward, down off the hill to Felina I go. Off to my right, I see 5 mounted cowboys. Off to my left, right, a dozen or more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose's back door.